This week's troubles are leaving a lot of Americans even more doubtful about an industry they weren't feeling too great about to begin with. A recent survey of airline quality found the rate of consumer complaints rose 60% last year. The study also showed travelers had a lot to complain about. More than a quarter of all flights arrived late, more passengers were bumped from overbooked planes, and more luggage was lost, stolen, or damaged. We're joined now by Richard Abulafia. He's an airline consultant with the Teal Group. First of all, can you explain how things got to this point? American Airlines had 18 months to comply with these FAA safety inspections. Surely they would have wanted to avoid a situation like this.
Yeah, you'd think that, wouldn't you? It's a little bit unclear. Obviously, there's been some regulatory oversight. There's been a certain degree of cooperation and that lack of oversight by the carriers themselves. There's a lot to be concerned about, but I think it's important to keep in perspective that this is the safest time in aviation history. We've had a remarkably safe past couple of years.
It seems like it's tough, though, to balance the safety with keeping customers happy. And this has been a rough week, not only for American, but also for other major carriers like Delta, United. How are these airlines going to recover?
Well, it's going to be very difficult. One problem that U.S. airlines have is that they've got some of the oldest jets in the world. That's not to say they're dilapidated. Very often, these older jets are actually quite safe. On the other hand, older planes are more likely to require more expensive care and feeding, basically maintenance, repair, and overhaul. And they don't have the sort of financial position that would allow them to invest in new and more reliable fleets. They've got hundreds of these older MD-80s, for example, the ones that American has been having problems with, and they've just been requiring more and more attention.
And, of course, fuel is not getting any cheaper either. So what are these big carriers going to have to do to survive? Are we going to see some mergers in the future?
We really do need mergers to happen. Certainly no other country in the world has six or more legacy large hub-and-spoke carriers the way we do. And yet, because of regulatory issues, because of union issues, mergers are very tough to effect. The joke is that so far, 80% of the mergers give the other 20% a bad name. We've had very little positive experience with mergers, and yet we desperately need them to allow them to leverage that financial health to order new and more reliable aircraft.
Let's talk about the smaller guys for a moment. That survey that I mentioned, a couple of airlines got very good marks, and they were the smaller ones like Mesa, JetBlue, AirTran. What are they capable of that the big guys maybe can't do?
Well, a couple of things. They're more likely to fly point to point, that is to say between, say, Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. The Americans of the world typically fly a hub-and-spoke route network where you're more likely to have to change somewhere, and that, of course, greatly complicates things and increases the chances that you'll be stranded or delayed. And then finally, they've been growing at a much slower pace. The smaller guys have been taking market share, so they've got newer fleets and just generally better financial positions.
If you were running a major airline today, what would be the biggest change that you would make to try to turn things around?
I would desperately, urgently look at partners for a merger, and then I would gain the confidence of financial backers, explain to them why we're doing this, why we can do this, and why they should give us the money to go and order new aircraft to replace the aging legacy systems that are less reliable and require a lot of care and feeding money.
Richard Abulafia is an airline analyst with the Teal Group. Thank you.
Pleasure.